Hello, friends. Patrick McFarland here of the Liberty Bigley podcast. And yes, it's Liberty Bigley. And I forgot because I'd been away for so long in the last episode that I actually had changed the title of this podcast to Liberty Bigley. It's changed on the logo, it's changed in the URL, and it's changed everywhere. So it's anchor.fm/Liberty Bigley. So, mea culpa, I suppose. But this episode, I'm going to be talking about the libertarian purity test. And I think it's pretty interesting. So perhaps this will be an interesting episode for you guys as well. But it also kind of underscores my development or the road that I've traveled on being a voluntarist or a libertarian or just expanding my own political beliefs. And I had started to write what I wanted to be, and I think I've mentioned this on this podcast before, but I started to write what I wanted to be, perhaps like a libertarian chicken soup for the soul, or remember that book series from the 90s, Chicken Soup for the Blank Soul, for the Mother's Soul, or for the. So, what I wanted to do was kind of tell my own story and relate it to the experience. As a testament to the experience of becoming a radical libertarian or someone in a fringe political movement centered around liberty, basically. And I've worked on this. My son was born, and then so many projects. So I don't know if I'm going to come back to it, but there's about two chapters written, and I'm still kind of phrasing how this book might actually work. But so. I'm not going to go down the whole history of my thought as a libertarian or how I've kind of made headway, I suppose, and in the path along, but there are several different phases. Like there's the evangelical phase when you first start out, or how I've coined it, or this is just my own subjective experience. But there's the excited phase where all you do is talk about the ideas and piss everyone off around you. Then there's the lonely phase when you start being disaffected because there's no one in your real life who thinks this way, and you make a lot of friends online and you kind of get involved with that. And then I guess there's the production phase, at least for me, where I had the podcast and I was producing content and going along and reading. And then after that, there's the burnout phase, and I went through that as well. And then maybe there's the realizing things from the burnout and trying to fix the things that caused the burnout, but still being tied around to the whole experience, and then coming back to the movement. And that kind of brings me to today. But there have been some burnout phases along the way, and one of them was caused by what I would call the libertarian purity test. And I consider myself to be a very hardcore, pure in principle, voluntarist, libertarian, anarchist, or what have you. That being said, along the road there, I've attacked people on hyper purity grounds, as opposed like you can't vote, and if you support any president or not presidential, but if you support any political action in terms of electing someone or voting or what have you, then you are a statist or you're not an anarchist and you're not as pure as me and I'm better than you, therefore, ad nauseum. And I've had that happen. I'm trying to think maybe during law school, during the double digits of the show. A few times, maybe in around the 50s or in terms of episodes of the Liberty Weekly podcast, but going on the offensive like that. And then there was an experience that I had with the show in terms of getting befriending certain listeners and having their purity test turned against me for things that I said on the show. And at that point in time, I considered myself to be an ultra pure libertarian, and perhaps those in the audience have had this experience, but having that libertarian purity test turned against you is not a very pleasant experience, and it's demoralizing too, because in that sense, you don't want to continue putting out content if that's the case. And it really cuts down, and in some ways, I think it's a psyop. And I'm not using that term literally, but if it was directed, it would be brilliant if you could get, CIA or FBI psyop agents to infiltrate a certain movement and to cause infighting by having different people accuse other productive people of not being peer, or peer supporters of the movement for XYZ reasons, completely dis. Fragments the movement and just demoralizes those people within the movement who are probably creating productive work in their own right. And so, yes, I've gone on the offensive, but then I was attacked multiple times. I've been attacked for being an attorney and being part of the state bar. I've been attacked for certain voting positions. I'm just trying to remember exactly. And I was attacked tonight by someone on Facebook about my episode with Jacob Hornberger that I just launched in the Liberty Weekly podcast at libertyweekly.net/128. And of course you get all of the normal accusations. You're not an anarchist if you're supporting a someone for president, a presidential candidate, and voting is for status, and look at me, I'm so pure, even though I can probably only count on two hands the people I've brought to the libertarian movement. And I've been in the movement since the 1970s. So, to frame this, it was a comment. I think I posted the show in a Facebook community for voluntarists, and there was a certain individual who attacked me for, or at least attacked my episode. Maybe it wasn't me. But there were accusations, against me, inferring that I'm some stupid shill of a statist or not a real anarchist or something like that. But there were people in the comment thread as well, other voluntarists who were pushing back against this person for being a psyop or trying to, jump down the throat of people and sow division to prevent any kind of progress. And I thought that, maybe this is a topic for the Liberty Weekly podcast proper, but it is kind of like, well, I pushed this person to, I said, we had sparred a little bit, and I was actually kind of proud because in the past I might have gotten angry or worked up about it or something. But I think sometimes that, at least for me, when I get angry or worked up over social media, it's because I'm insecure about my beliefs or insecure about being right or just not feeling secure. But in this case, I couldn't care less if this person agrees or disagrees with me. I think I'm hoping that I've evolved to that point in my political beliefs because I've been confronted so much with and exposed to people who obviously don't agree with me. And it's fine. Like, you can't take it as a personal attack or feel like you're inferior because someone that you respect disagrees with you or what have you. You just have to have faith and confidence in yourself that you've been able to form these opinions and that you're open to new opinions. And you can be exposed to dissenting voices, but still believe in yourself and your ideas, and that's totally cool. So I got to this point and I kind of drilled this person down because he was saying that, and I framed it in terms of, well, okay, at least from my perspective, I don't think that we're actually trying to get Jacob Hornberger literally elected for president to beat Donald Trump and whatever the DNC candidate is. I think that's absurd. I don't think that any third party candidate can actually hope to unseat, at least not, in this political climate. There was never any thought, or the goal was never for Gary Johnson or for Jacob Hornberger or any of the Libertarian Party candidates for that matter. The goal was never actually to win the presidency, I don't think. And if that's your goal, that maybe you got to re-examine what you're doing. And in terms of Jacob Hornberger's campaign, I Do you think that Jacob Hornberger seriously thinks that thinks it's even a possibility that he might be elected president, maybe in an alternative universe? But I think the point is to try to recreate the Ron Paul revolution. If there are two detested candidates, and Dave Smith has talked about this on the show over and over and over again, but if there's two candidates who are universally despised, and the only other candidate out there is the candidate that has the libertarian name associated with them, whether you like it or not, you better hope that you have someone up there who can communicate the ideas and communicate them in a way that's compelling and that's actually going to make a difference, unlike Gary Johnson or other libertarian candidates that the LP has fielded. And I'm blanking completely on the name of, I had him, Freedom Traps, in my episode of the Liberty Weekly podcast. Damn it, he ran in like 2000 on the LP ticket. But anyways, so I think the point is to, if you're going to have a candidate up there, whether you are a pure anarchist or not, the candidate up there has your name, the libertarian name, on them, and people will associate that candidate with what you think. And you better hope that you have someone up there who can communicate your ideas. And moreover, it's an opportunity, a la the Ron Paul Revolution, if the Libertarian Party got debate access and Jacob Hornberger was on a stage with Donald Trump and probably Elizabeth Warren. Don't you see how that would be a huge opportunity to at least present a third option and to educate people about these ideas and maybe compel people? And I tied it back to, so my goal is, right, we should be seeing these big political, whether you like it or not, normal people realize, or normal people look to these elections. It's the only time that they pay attention to politics for most normal people. And you have a real opportunity you have to go to where normal people are. You have an opportunity here to sell the libertarian message and to really get the true message of libertarianism across. And I think that's too big of an opportunity to pass up. And the purity objections are, well, oh, you can't trust politicians, which I get it. I get it, whether they're a libertarian or not. And I never really thought that, like, okay, even if Ron Paul was elected president, I still don't think we win. Maybe the fact that he was elected in this hypothetical would be evidence that, okay, we would have to win in the way we want to win before it would be possible for Ron Paul to be elected. I think that's the truth. And the same with Jacob Hornberger. So, in that sense, the other purity objections are, well, you can't trust politicians. Voting is for status. You can't bring about a libertarian society by working through the political process because politics in of itself deals is of the state and deals with controlling the state or trying to seek the ring of power, for to make the Lord of the Rings analogy, instead of destroying it, which is what you should be doing. But I don't think the argument ever was from my end that we're doing this to seek the ring of power. We're not doing it to seek the ring of power. We're doing it, and this is where the Lord of the Rings analogy, I think, kind of falls apart, because you're not seeking the ring of power here. But there's no equivalent within the Lord of the Rings analogy to say that what you're really doing is trying to speak to people and wake them up, or warn them about the power of the ring by, I don't know. See, the analogy doesn't really work, I don't think, but warn people about the power of the ring by showing them Sauron or something. By using the outright danger of Sauron to warn people of it, or what have you. So, going back to it, I finally had, this was a short exchange, by the way, too. But I kind of got the guy to pin him down and kind of to, I said, okay, true or false, The Ron Paul Revolution was a net positive for the liberty movement as a whole. And he said false. And at that point, I was like, all right, we can agree to disagree. Have a good night, bud. Or sir, or what have you. So I don't think that you can credibly assert that the Ron Paul Revolution was a net negative for libertarianism. I think arguably without this, the Ron Paul Revolution, without that Giuliani moment and without him on the debate stage, I don't think that you have nearly as many people who are into Rothbardian hardcore anarcho-capitalism. I the rise of the Mises Institute, I just don't see it. There are so many people, myself included, and so many tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of young people who are radical libertarian anarchists today because of the Ron Paul Revolution. And this is, I think, even though things seem bleak right now, I do think we are at an unprecedented point in time that maybe perhaps even Murray Rothbard could not comprehend before he died, beyond maybe his wildest hopes of what this political ideology, what this political movement would be. I think we're there today because of the internet and because of the ease of spreading the ideas now, and just the fact that the ideas of peace, liberty, and prosperity are so popular. They're not in the mainstream, granted, but this hardcore version of libertarianism is thriving, I think, right now. And with the rise of the Mises Caucus and with the rise of independent content producers, this community is growing and growing and growing all the time, especially in countries like Brazil, but especially in the corners of the internet. And I think that's exciting. And frankly, I think it is almost, I don't want to say almost entirely because of Ron Paul, but Ron Paul, at least in the United States and maybe across the world, had a huge, huge role in this. And that's undeniable. And just, I think that it is in some ways a psyop, or probably inadvertently, most likely. But if you get people to come in and agitate and keep people who are working to bring liberty in any way that they can, that they are skilled to do, from being productive, I think that that is, you can't do that. And this purity testing and spiraling, it's just completely unproductive. And, there's maybe a place for it if libertarian someone if you are a libertarian who is working to elect someone like Bill Weld, who is a lobbyist for Raytheon, then okay, then I would invite pure libertarian purists to come in and say, hey, you are trying to elect someone who supported Iraq War II and is a Raytheon lobbyist. Maybe you should try and get in touch with your principals again. Or, I can think of other examples, but the this whole attacking other voluntarists for very small kind of things, as if the belief of one small voluntarist would actually like is encouraging, because at least the arguments advanced to me were that if we are trying to teach and spread the word of liberty through a politician on the stage, then we are teaching people that, or at least somehow endorsing the idea that we think you can spread liberty through voting or electing politicians or participating in government. That was the argument. But I don't think that my single-handed efforts is going to make a real difference in terms of what the masses of people believe, or whether voluntarists get behind Jacob Hornberger or not, the broader libertarian movement, or I don't know. I just don't see this as a very good argument, because we have Ron Paul get up there and preach about all this good stuff, about basically start the Ron Paul Revolution. And what the end product is tens of thousands of radical anarchist libertarians who don't believe in politicians or voting, I mean, granted on that level, I'm just kind of thinking here, but granted on that level that you do get a lot of radical libertarian voluntarists and anarchists. I guess it was a mistake of me to say that none of them believe that voting or political action or anything like that is productive. Maybe many of them don't. They don't see it as a solution, but perhaps it is a tool that can be used to try to wake more people up and to spread the culture of liberty and to change. And I don't really see it as a problem or even really hypocritical. I don't. To use the try to use a presidential candidate to get on the stage to teach people about liberty and to convert them in the same way that Ron Paul did. And I guess you could talk about the pipe dream of the libertarian presidential nominee actually getting elected, but I don't think that you have to worry about that too much. Like if I was on Jacob Hornberger's campaign, well, I'm trying to help or do what I can, but if I was had any stake in like directing the strategy of the campaign, I don't know if I would even spend much or any time at all in actually developing a roadmap plan, like a legit boots on the ground strategy. I think all the strategy would have to go into like, okay, how do we get on the debate stage, and what do we say once we're up there? I think that's it. So I'd be interested if anyone in this audience, perhaps you disagree with me about this, and if you've made it to the end, my hat's off to you. But if you disagree with me about this, I guess that's fine. I think we're both fellow travelers on this road, but I would appreciate, not trying to play the purity test and to try to discourage other libertarians who call themselves voluntarists from advancing the cause of liberty in the best way that they know how, and to really cut them down. I would discourage you from doing that. And like I said, I mean, it's one thing if they're supporting someone like Bill Weld, who is a lobbyist for Raytheon. I mean, if it's clearly a bad thing, but if you're dealing with intangibles like this, like what were proposed against me is that, well, if we have the politician on the stage trying to teach the ideas of liberty, it's somehow endorsing and leading people into believing that voting and believing in political candidates and politicians is okay. So therefore, you're just going to bring about a more statist world. I don't know. I don't really. As if accusing me of this intangible thing means that I'm not a real voluntarist or that I'm a psyop or a plant or something. No, I think we should all just be encouraging each other to spread the ideas of liberty in the best way that we know how. Again, unless, of course, it's something ridiculous that's clearly wrong. So, but on the other hand, just to try and have productive conversations that don't really turn into name calling and making people want to quit supporting and spreading the ideas of liberty. And I think at the end of the day, we're not all anarchists, we're not all minarchists, we're maybe sometimes even beltway mainstream libertarians, but if you are very concerned about the direction this country's going, you believe in at least less government regulation or minimal government regulation and understand the principles of freedom and free markets, then I think we all kind of have a place together and we can, talk about the strategy and all that stuff, but to try and support each other instead of really calling each other out and getting caught up in this purity test. So, just in closing, don't be a purist. Try and be principled and have your own type of purity, I guess, but don't be a purist. I think that I usually tend to find that people who are purists have done the least amount of actual tangible things for spreading the ideas of liberty. And I mean, you really got to look in the mirror before you start accusing other people of things, and make sure that your own house is in order. Because I mean, if you're calling another person not a pure libertarian or not or a statist or something like that because of a small disagreement, but on the one hand you have zero people that you've converted to libertarianism, or you have zero work product in terms of a blog or a website or a podcast or a network of political activists or something that you've created. And I know nothing about this guy I was arguing with tonight. But if he has no kind of work product to point to, it wouldn't surprise me. So it makes it, if you're going to be a purist, it makes it a little more credible if you have a vast network of activists that you've created or some work product like that. But on the other hand, even if you did, I would encourage you to support other people who identify as voluntarists unless they're openly terrible people. So, all right, well, I hope I wasn't talking in circles there. I hope you understand where I'm coming from and that you found this message useful. Please check out my interv or Keith Knight's interview with Jacob Hornberger at libertyweekly.net/1 or 128, and subscribe to this podcast at anchor.fm/libertybigly. That's BIGLY. It's all one word. I believe that's the thing, the URL. Otherwise, search Liberty Bigly on your podcatcher. And I appreciate you being subscribed. Also, check me out on Patreon, patreon.com/libertyweekly. Help me break back into the black ink. And share the show, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. All right. Thanks so much. Peace.